This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, a post-debate night Wednesday. It's been awesome. Don't forget, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, we're going to do a little bit of politics here. We'll do some emails, but the difference in the two sides is pretty stark. I'm going to play this for you. I want you to listen. I played it a little bit earlier, but I want you to listen to this woman and listen to the reason she's voting for Donald Trump.
I think it's important to remember that we are voting for the leader of our country and not who we like the most or who we want in our wedding party, but who is actually going to make our country better. And we're in an incredibly unique situation where we've had both of the candidates in office before and we've gotten to see what they would do. And when facts come to facts, my life was better when Trump was in office. The economy was higher, inflation was lower, things were better overall. And now with Kamala's administration, things haven't been so fantastic. And she's saying she can fix the problems that her administration has caused, but I just don't know if I can afford to take that risk.
I'm voting for Trump because my life was better under Trump. Obviously, an extremely reasonable way to approach things. But you know how I tell you that we really are two different species, that so often we think we can unify or merge, but that's a childish notion. That's not true, because we share a country with people who aren't even the same species as we are. You just heard that woman. She's going to vote for Trump. Clearly, she's not a fan of his personality or something, but she pretty much said that. But hey, my life was better under Trump. Voting for Trump because my life was better. Very reasonable, logical take. That's one side. Listen to this.
I didn't necessarily agree with what she was saying, but my favorable reactions were because it was nice to see the passion and believability that she stands behind and then have something to gauge more of what she says on, since she hasn't spoken a lot solidly about a lot of issues.
What? I'm going to play that again because I'm still trying to figure out what this means. This woman, she's voting Dome this November. She's explaining why.
I didn't necessarily agree with what she was saying, but my favorable reactions were because it was nice to see the passion and believability that she stands behind and then have something to gauge more of what she says on, since she hasn't spoken a lot solidly about a lot of issues.
What? I didn't agree with her on things, but her passion? What? Oh, you thought that was bad? You want to talk about a completely different species? Here's one.
Look, I'm going to vote for Kamala Harris. She could run over a child live on TV. I'm going to vote for Kamala Harris. I'm never going to vote for Trump.
Look, she's a woman. She might run over a child on TV. What, Chris? What? We can make jokes. It's fine. Oh, that's right. Presidents can't drive. That's okay. She's never going to be president. Now, speaking of broken, do you remember the conversation I shared with you? I've shared it with you a couple times about the crazy commie lady from Chicago. Just quick recap on the story. I'm sitting down at a dinner. It's a big table, bunch of people. They're arguing politics. I'm sitting there quietly. There's this woman, this liberal white woman from Chicago, who keeps bragging about Brandon Johnson, the Chicago mayor, the open communist Chicago mayor. And she keeps calling him BJ this and BJ that. We love BJ. We love BJ, BJ, BJ. She loves it. And one of the dudes, this old Texas oil dude who was there, starts blasting away at her about the crime. Surely you're aware of the crime that's getting worse. The shootings, the stabbings, the assaults, the robberies. It's really bad, right? And she looked at him dead in the eye and was 100% serious. And she said, well, yeah, if you come to Chicago, you might get robbed, but you won't be targeted. That was, in her mind, a defense of the city. So there are people for whom there is no escape. They are so mentally and spiritually shattered by communism. They are so programmed by the hive mind that there is nothing that will wake them up. I'm not saying this is everyone. I'm not saying it's every Democrat you know. Democrats wake up on occasion. That's wonderful. That's always what you should want. You don't want someone to stay in the demonic communist death cult. Always allow room for them to wake up. But I'm going to play something for you. If you don't believe what I just said, maybe you're questioning it. Maybe you've said something. I know I've said this before. Well, if it gets bad enough, they'll change. You ever said that? You ever said something about kids when, because kids tend to go left? Have you ever said something? Well, yeah, they'll go right when they start getting a paycheck. You ever said something like that? Well, if it gets bad enough, they'll see the error in their ways and they'll change. This man is from Springfield, Ohio. His 11-year-old son was killed by a Haitian. You want to know how broken beyond repair some people are? Listen to this.
I wish that my son, Aiden Clark, was killed by a 60-year-old white man. And I bet you never thought anyone would ever say something so blunt. But if that guy killed my 11-year-old son, the incessant group of hate-spewing people would leave us alone. My son, Aiden Clark, was not murdered. He was accidentally killed by an immigrant from Haiti. But don't spin this towards hate. In order to live like Aiden, you need to accept everyone. Did you know that he researched different cultures to better appreciate and understand people that he interacted with?
His 11-year-old son was mowed down by a dude from Haiti. And in his grief, the most important thing for him is that people are being mean to the Haitians. You think it can get bad enough and the communist will change his ways if it does. This dude's son was slaughtered and he didn't change a thing. He is so broken spiritually, mentally, so programmed. Nothing can change his programming. Outside of God himself, nothing can change it. And that is an amazing thing to say. It's one of the more jaw-dropping things I've seen. But I'm not surprised. Like I said, some people not only can't wake up, they don't want to wake up. They're very, very comfortable in their cult, and they're just broken. Broken. Yeah. Wait. You hear what Tulsi Gabbard, she's really turned into a pretty good.
I think he clarified and told the truth about a lot of things that Kamala Harris accused him of that were outright lies. She was trying to tell the American people that he supports a federal abortion ban. He does not. She tried to tell the American people that he's trying to ban IVF, something that's personal to me because it's something that my husband and I, for years, tried to start our own family through the use of IVF. It didn't work out for us, works out for a lot of families. President Trump was quick on the draw when that Alabama court ruled, and he immediately said, no, we have to protect IVF, and the Alabama state legislature took action. She continued to say things, trying to say he's trying to ban birth control. That is also 100% false. So President Trump, I think, did a good job in clarifying the truth after Kamala Harris continued to lob lie after lie at him, saying things that he stood for that frankly just are not true.
The post-debate Trump surrogates really did do an excellent job. Remember, I played this earlier from J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance, you know, I don't even want to say it because I was so excited about last night's debate. I was so sure we were going to win that. But J.D. Vance really is going to massacre Tim Walz.
I would say is he brought up this misleading false claim that you yourself have talked about in recent days about Haitian immigrants in Springfield, Ohio, abducting people's pets and eating them, which officials there have said is not true. You yourself acknowledged it may be false on Twitter. You still told people to keep spreading it. But Trump just amplified it to tens of millions of people who were watching. Why push something that's not true?
Well, first of all, city officials have not said it's not true. They've said they don't have all the evidence.
They said they have no evidence.
We've heard from a number of constituents on the ground, Caitlin, who...
That's the part I want to talk about. City officials said it's not true. I mean, the moderators even dropped that last night. We have to discuss institutional trust because it's so important marching forward. So let's talk about some institutional trust before we talk about that. Let's save a baby. Oh, a lot of talk about would you ban this and ban that? I want to ban this. When should you ban this? There was all kinds of abortion talk last night. But it's the ultrasound that saves lives. Because ultrasounds change hearts. That's what ultrasounds do. These young women have been lied to repeatedly. It's a clump of cells. It's nothing. You don't need it. It'll hurt you. But once that young lady hears a heartbeat, then you can't lie to yourself anymore. She knows it's alive. She knows it's a baby. She knows it's her baby. And she knows, as a mother, she has to protect it. Preborn is saving lives with ultrasound. It costs Preborn $28 to give that young lady an ultrasound, which they do for free. You have to pay for it. They can only do it if you pay for it. And maybe the best thing about Preborn is it's all tax deductible. Everything. You can give as much as you want. I have listeners, they give them $50,000 a year. I'm not saying you got that kind of money, but give what you can give. $28 buys a life. How much is $28,000? Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, a hump day. Remember, you can email us jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We have Selena Zito coming up 10 minutes from now. What did the people on the street think about the debate? Selena Zito watched it from a bar surrounded by normal people. What did they say? What did they see? Let's talk to him. You and me, we're hyper-informed. It wasn't for us. It was for those people. What did they see? We'll talk to her in a minute, but I'm going to go back to this. You just heard Caitlin Collins of CNN try to correct J.D. Vance. Well, the city parks department said they're not eating pets. The debate moderators tried to jump all over Trump. Well, they did jump all over Trump last night when he made... I admit it was a clunky reference, but he was talking about the dogs and cats.
She's destroying this country. And if she becomes president, this country doesn't have a chance of success. Not only success, we'll end up being Venezuela on steroids.
I just want to clarify here. You bring up Springfield, Ohio, and ABC News did reach out to the city manager there. He told us there had been no credible reports of specific claims of pets being harmed, injured, or abused by individuals within the immigrant community.
Well, I've seen people on television.
Let me just say here.
But with the city manager, we reached out. This is how the system works. And this is why we have to have a talk about institutional trust. You can save this country, or you can trust in its corrupt institutions, but you absolutely cannot do both. You cannot. You cannot save the country and trust what the FBI says. You cannot save the country and trust the media. You cannot save the country and trust. Pick your institution. Maybe it's your alma mater, Harvard, whatever. You can save the country, or you can trust your institution. And here's how they use it. They conquer the institutions, and then the conquered institution, instead of doing what it's supposed to do, it does the bidding of the system. And if you're sitting there as someone who still trusts the institution, but the institution's working against you, you don't have a prayer. a prayer. And it's not that I want you to be a distrustful cynic, but when you hear anything from our institutions anymore, you need to make sure your first response is they're lying. Oh, they're probably lying. Another great example, actually from the debate, another great example here, right here.
Crime here is up and through the roof. Despite their fraudulent statements that they made, crime in this country is through the roof. And we have a new form of crime. It's called migrant crime. And it's happening at levels that nobody thought possible.
President Trump, as you know, the FBI says overall violent crime is actually coming down in this country. But
as you know, the FBI says violent crime is coming down. Well, the FBI's lying, and they know they're lying, because the major crime centers, as Trump goes on to try to explain over the moderator, the highest crime areas stopped reporting to the FBI. The FBI knows this, yet they put out these crime statistics so, quote, journalists like David Muir and Lindsay Lip Injections can get up there and say, well, the FBI said it's going down. They conquer the institutions so they can take the credibility of that institution and use it as a weapon against you. Again, I'm not trying to make you king cynic, but this is, look, it goes back to the recent Russia DOJ thing that half the right was interested in jumping on board with. Why do you trust the DOJ? Why do you trust the FBI? The first instinct is they're lying. They have earned that. And if you give them trust, here's what you need to understand. If you give them your trust, well, no, I mean, they're not all lying. Well, the great men and women on the ground, well, I mean, it's not everybody. If you're trying to do this contortion thing where you're just trying to bend and twist just right to give them a little bit of credibility, but you don't get it. The credibility you give them is the fuel that keeps them going. The only true power we have against corrupt institutions is to remove all credibility of the institution. Your brother who's in the FBI should be laughed at when he tells people that. Mocked. Scorned. Your mom, who's in the FBI, should be mocked and scorned. It's not because I want anything to happen to your mom or your brother. It's because once the public has gotten to that level of distrust in the institution, then you have stripped the institution itself of all of its power, you see. But if you still give them any of your trust, then what you're doing is you're fueling the evil people who use the institution they've conquered against you. You have got to let it go. The institutions you loved and admired, I loved and admired, they're gone. They've been conquered by filthy communists. Now we have to let them know we don't trust them anymore. And in fact, you actually see a little bit of this with the post-debate stuff. The moderators were terrible. The post-debate focus group things where they find the undecided voters are not terrible for Trump. They're not really great for either of them, but they weren't terrible for Trump. Why? Media's lost credibility. That's why. You have to think. That's where chalk comes in. Chalk helps your mind. When I talk about the stacks, Chalk's more than just stacks. It's more than a male vitality stack, 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days. It's more than a female vitality stack. Try some lit powder. You ever had lit powder? It's chalk lit powder. Ha ha ha, chalk lit powder. Whatever. Don't shake your head, Chris. I know I didn't know, but I figured it out. Once you told me, I figured it out. Anyway, it's all the vitamins and minerals you need for the day. You mix it into a glass of water right when you wake up, or a glass of milk, or the wife puts it in these superfood smoothies. Don't make fun of me. There's all kind of kale and gross healthy stuff in there, but they are very good for you. Either way, get some in your life and tell me how you feel. You feel so much better when your body has the fuel it needs. Call them. Text them. 50CHOQ3000. That's 50CHOQ3000. Tell them I sent you. We'll be back.
feeling a little stalky?
Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. So excited to talk to Selena Zito, friend of the show, friend of mine, I guess I should say. She's not the show's friend. She certainly would never be friends with someone like Chris. Anyway, the best writer in America, Selena Zito, joins us now. Selena, you watched the debate last night. I thought it was awful. Moderators were awful. Kamala Harris wasn't as bad as normal. I thought Trump was as bad as I've ever seen him in a debate. But life goes on. Where are we at today?
Nothing has changed.
Yep.
No, nothing. Absolutely nothing has changed. I think the mistake that my profession made, because it's more of an entertainment profession as opposed to a journalistic profession, was to make sure to lower the bar for her so much that whatever she did exceeded the bar. So I watched it with a group of people in a bar, and that's important because watching it in a debate hall means you're just listening to what other reporters think about what the debate meant. You need to understand what voters meant, thought. And they walked away thinking, yeah, she won it, but that didn't change my vote. She didn't tell me anything. I know nothing new about her. There was absolutely no idea of where she stands on anything or how her positions were formed. Whether you like Donald Trump or not, you pretty much know who he is. She is still unknown to voters, and that is not a good place to be when you are a candidate. If you are running a campaign, you always look at like favorables and unfavorables and what voters think of you. And when you have a very low percentage number of what people think about, your positions, that means you have not earned their support.
You say she won, or at least they were saying that, yeah, she won the debate, but still not voting for her. I'm, one, thrilled to hear about that, but two, what is their hesitancy? What is the most hesitancy you see when it comes to her, Selena? Is it, honestly, you can be as offensive as you want. You know it's not going to bother me. Is it because she's a woman? Is it because she's a Democrat? Are Democrats tainted? Is it because she comes off like an airhead? What is it about her that has them voting for Trump?
So voters like to know where you stand. That doesn't even mean they agree with everything you stand for, but they want to know that there is sort of this central force, this guiding force within you that you know where they'll be on key issues. She has sort of framed herself on her own as being someone who doesn't have a moral center on issues. And who has been this certain leftist thing way outside the norms of the center of the country, right? She's from California. Their politics are very, very different than, say, Wisconsin or Michigan or Pennsylvania or Oklahoma or Texas and even New York. It's further left than New York. And she's never had to sort of try to earn an independent voter or Republican voter because they're about as extinct as a dinosaur in California. So she's never had to be that person that had to moderate her views. So her views have been out in left field. People look at California as not a great example of where they want to go with their state to go. Not just on homelessness, not just on costs, but also on education, on different regulations, right? I mean, it's just regulated Exxon right out of there, and they've been there for 100 years. So, they don't know who she is, and that is her biggest challenge.
That is an amazingly bad place to be for a presidential candidate when early voting is like now. I can't believe the vice president, former senator from California, has still not found a way to introduce herself to the voters. I'm floored by the incompetence. I'm thrilled by it, but I'm floored by it, Selena.
I am really floored by it as well. Case in point, she spent the past 5 days in Pittsburgh. She did no meaningful, no retail at all outside to go to Penzi's, which is a chain store. You don't go to, she didn't decide to go to a local store, locally owned store, something that is nostalgic and made people feel connected to you because you went to a store that I go to, right? People like that cultural touchstone, that cultural connection. She goes to a place where a guy is known for calling on his corporate website, Republicans are racist, but he is also deeply anti-Semitic. And every event that she's done in Pennsylvania has been invite only, and it is only supporters that are invited in the unions that attend. You cannot spontaneously attend event like you would have attended an Obama event or like you would have attended a Trump event, right? You go online, you sign up, you go. There's none of that. Everything is carefully scripted. And to win Pennsylvania, it is not Pittsburgh and Philadelphia which will bring your candidacy home, despite the high populations in both of those cities. It is the counties of Erie and Luzerne and Northampton and Cambria which will bring one of those two people home. And to date, the only person that has been busting their behind to earn those votes has been Trump.
Speaking with Selena Zito, make sure you go sign up for her newsletter, selenazito.com. I should note it's fantastic. Keep you updated on everything. Selena, you brought up the anti-Semitic Jew hater who owns Penzi Spices. I am curious, in the Rust Belt states, I don't consider them to be heavily Jewish, but does the Hamas-loving base of the Democrat Party, does that move the meter for people at all, or is it really just about inflation and immigration? Not that they're thrilled by it, but does anyone ever bring that up to you?
Well, only that they're offended by it. We have Pittsburgh. If people don't know this, it is the site of where the largest massacre of Jews have happened in the United States ever, and we have a pretty robust Jewish population. However, we also have a very, very far left fringe within our Democratic Party, and there are pro-Hamas protests all the time. There's vandalism and graffiti on Jewish businesses, on Jewish homes, all the time. I report about it all the time, and our top elected officials are members or had been members of the DSA, the Democratic Socialists of America, who often start or facilitate these pro-Hamas protests that have been happening in the city. And so it is a cultural thing that has pushed a lot of people away from the Democratic Party. And in a race that's going to be decided on the margins, all of those granular things are going to make a difference in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. She is Selena Zito. I love her. Selena, you come back anytime. I'm sure we will speak again soon. SelenaZito.com. Go sign up for her newsletter. It really is great. It's wonderful. It's free, too. It's nothing you have to pay for. It's free. Relief Factor isn't free, but it's almost free. What, Chris? It's only $19.95. Even Chris would pay these prices. $19.95 gets you a 3-week quick start kit from Relief Factor. You don't have to take my word for it that Relief Factor will take care of that pain. I don't want you to. Try it for 3 weeks. If it doesn't, promise me you'll never order it again. Did you know that 70% of the people who try it order it again? Did you know that? It's crazy. It works. And it works naturally. It's drug-free. You take it every day. It gives your body what it needs so your body's natural response to pain can take care of it. Stop masking it and stop ignoring it. You don't have to live with a sore knee, my back hurts, my neck. You don't have to live like that. 3 weeks. You are 3 weeks away from being free. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back. Couple emails and headlines. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show out on Wednesday, but we shall return tomorrow. You can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I want to get to a couple more of these, as many as I can get to, and then we'll sign out of here. Hey, Mr. Kelly, after the debate yesterday, all I can say is we are so screwed. I didn't think it was going to be this bad. Dems at this point will win until the end of time because, sadly, I think we are past the point of no return. I don't see a recovery here. Kamala wins, we're done. I hope I'm wrong. Calm down. Calm down. We might lose in November. I don't think we will, but we might. Even if we do, we will keep marching on because legal and local is going so well. National politics, yes, it's big and it's gross and it's embarrassing, but legal and local is going so well. You want to talk about the power of local? You know, we've been covering a lot how they bring in all these foreigners and how they're remaking and ravaging communities. You know, that's not happening very much in Florida. Do you know why? Because people got legal and local there. And they voted in this blood red state legislature, and they voted in Ron DeSantis, and they pack up the illegals and ship them out of the state as fast as they get in there. So no one's eating their dogs. Legal and local, no matter what, even if November goes poorly. And I don't think it will. It wasn't our best night. All right. It is what it is. Jesse, is it fair to say the media will be the biggest cause of the downfall of the West? I interact with a limited amount of people each day, so local stuff is all I really deal with. And then I listen to and watch the media, and they're the ones giving Aunt Peggy her daily upload. You and your listeners disregard it, but Norm doesn't. Interested to hear your thoughts. Is the media the cause of the fall of the West? No, the West going downhill, it's not a new phenomenon at all. This is something that takes time. It takes time for a civilization to degrade. Is the media helping accelerate that downfall? There's no question. There's no question. These people, they really are evil. They are evil, and they dedicate themselves to lying to normal people on behalf of the powerful. How despicable is that? Because the media is supposed to be exactly the opposite. They're supposed to be, powerful people are supposed to hate journalists. You realize that? Powerful people should hate journalists because journalists are constantly exposing their lies and writing about them. Our media has joined with the powerful people against people in the community. Here's an example right here. The AP, the Associated Press. Let me pull up this headline real quick. This is a headline today from the Associated Press. In Ohio City, that'd be Springfield, in Ohio City, reshaped by Haitian immigrants, lands in an unwelcome spotlight. It's not just that the communists have opened up the border and flooded the country with barbarians from all over the planet. The American media is trying to help them do it. Instead of exposing the rot in it, instead of exposing how Americans are suffering, they have dedicated themselves to lying on behalf of an evil regime to try to bring more of them into the country. That is so freaking evil and wrong. Oh, and speaking of which, here's a little doozy of a headline from today. U.S. election officials warn of widespread problems with U.S. mail-in voting. Look, let me just explain something to the people in power. There are a lot of questions about the last election. some valid, some not, but a significant portion of this population believes you use mail-in voting to cheat. Doesn't matter what you think, a significant portion of the American population believes that. If we have another election and it takes a week to get the numbers in and there are big vote drops in the middle of the night again, and the people who are currently in power miraculously end up staying in power after all the mail-in votes trickle in the end, we are approaching a point in time where it's going to be a problem. I'm just letting you know it's going to be a problem. You can spit in people's faces and spit in people's faces and spit in people's faces for only so long. It's going to be a problem. And stories like this concern me because what if all that's legitimate? And it probably is when it comes to the post office. They're probably just overworked, underpaid. They're not getting anything done, so they can't get it done. But if you're someone who already believes these filthy commies cheat in an election, and now you're saying, whoop, I don't know, we're going to have a lot of problem with the mail, then that person's going to see cheating no matter what. He's going to see cheating. And even if your explanation is the most innocent, honest explanation in the world, the person who already thinks you cheat, he's not going to want to hear it. Just a heads up.
And now,
here's a headline.
By the, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Professor Giordano. I don't know who that is, but he doesn't sound American. Why 30%? I'm just kidding. It's an Italian name. It was just a shot at somebody. Why 30% of Gen Z sympathize with Osama bin Laden? It's not very complicated at all. America's children have been taught by America's communist education system that America sucks. They sympathize with Osama bin Laden because Osama bin Laden was at war with America. America's communist youth are at war with America. They have the same enemy, us. Speaker Johnson vows to press ahead with stopgap spending bill. Mike Johnson, he has been a warrior for Democrats ever since he's gotten there. Remembering the worst day of the 21st century. It's about September 11th. Prayers for everybody who is hurting today. People who have lost loved ones in combat in New York and in D.C., at the Pentagon. This day, I mean, I shared my story, but for a lot of people, this is a heavier day. It's the day they lost dad. They lost grandpa. They lost their wife. They lost their husband. So it's a day to bow your head, say a prayer. You're still here. Say a prayer for those people. Say a prayer for Chris. I don't know why. He just needs all the help he can get. I will be back tomorrow. All right? That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.